Today's reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, which you can find on page 34 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that New Year carol. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for the new water, for the new year, and all the opportunities it presents for us to reveal you among us. In Christ's name, amen. Once again, I wish you all happy New Year. The holidays have been magnificent. I spent a few of the holidays visiting the hospitals, and I was visiting right around Christmas at Baylor, and I had an experience which I've read about in emails, but I personally have not had before. But this was real, folks. So I drive into Baylor, and I'm beginning to park my car right as you come in the parking garage, and suddenly I hear this really loud screeching and horns honking, blaring down, and I'm looking around to see what's happening. I'm trying to get parked quickly, and there is a woman in, I don't know trucks, but it was huge. It was a huge truck, double cab, whatever you call it, and she's backing up and screeching and turning around. There's a man who's trying to get just the normal path to go pay out, but she is backing up, going forward, backing up, and all the time she's blaring her horn. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, well, I've never seen this before in a parking garage, a hospital parking garage, and it's Christmas, you know? But she continues to do that. And so I thought, I'm just going to get out and go. And so I stepped out of my car and I started to get into the path to walk. And I thought, I think that woman is going to charge, maybe she might hit me when she gets out of there. And so I stepped back in by my car, and sure enough, once she got clearance, she came around there charging, accelerated as hard as she could, honking, and blared off. And I thought, wow. And I turned around and looked at the back of the pickup truck, and yeah, there it was. A big cross in gold outlined with a big fish over it. I'm going, aha. And I'm also thinking to myself, okay, people who are not part of the baptized tribe, they're going also, aha. So that's what it means to be baptized. So does the cross and the fish represent our baptism? Today is Epiphany Sunday, and you've already heard today is the baptism of our Lord Sunday, and it doesn't usually happen that way. Usually we have Epiphany Sunday first, and we get to celebrate Jesus' birth and the revelation to the Magi that Jesus was born for all. And then we go the next week, and he's 30 years old, and he's being baptized. So we have a week for that 30-year span. But today, because of the calendar, we go from baby to being baptized at 30 in an hour. This may seem strange, but to me it gives us an opportunity to talk about what is the link between Epiphany and baptism. And the link is the Epiphany that we discover in baptism. We talk about a person having an Epiphany when they've discovered something, something is revealed to them. It's an aha moment, as Eric said. And I think the classic example of Epiphany is the ancient Greek scholar Archimedes, who got into his bathtub and the water flowed out because he got in, and suddenly he said, "Eureka! I found it! The displacement of water." He jumps out of his tub completely naked, runs through the street hollering, "Eureka! Eureka! I found it!" He had an epiphany, and we could also say he probably should have taken time to get his bathrobe. But that kind of epiphany is not exactly the kind of epiphany we're talking about today when we're talking about a religious epiphany. A religious epiphany is when God reveals God's self to us in some way. And in some way, we get it. That's a revelation of who God is. God's light shining for us to see more clearly what we're called to do, how we're called to participate. Otherwise, we would be, like the scripture says, those people who lived in darkness. And yet it goes on to say, those people who lived in darkness have seen a great light. That's the epiphany. So whether we're baptized as a baby, as Jolie was today, or whether we are baptized as adults and we remember our baptism, ultimately, we are figuring out, we come to understand what it is that our baptism really means, apart from the symbols of the cross and the fish. Kat Banakis, she's an Episcopalian priest, tells a story about a few summers ago when she was walking down the streets of their hometown with her grandmother. And her grandmother was dressed as she always did in the summer. She had a camp shirt on, they called it, short sleeves, V-neck, open. And they're walking along, and this really grizzly-looking man is walking facing them, and suddenly he just stops. And he went, "You too, eh?" And she's kind of startled, and he reaches in and gets his T-shirt and pulls it down and shows a white scar, vertical, all the way down. They were, her grandmother had had open-heart surgery too. They belonged to the same network. They recognized each other immediately by the same scar that they had. So how do we recognize each other? Well, it says God is doing a new thing here in this passage that Joe read. But it's not a brand new thing, folks. It's not a brand new thing. It doesn't discount the prophets and Torah and Miriam and Moses. It doesn't discount Sarah or John the Baptizer. All of those people preparing the way for us. And then Jesus comes and cannot be contained and goes ahead of us, always with that light to reveal. And you know, when our baptism comes, innovative things start to happen. Change starts to happen. And usually, change and innovation can be good things. So the cleansing that happened there that John the Baptist is talking about is not just that they're getting rid of the old sins that have been burdening them. It's that they now have the ability and realize they have the ability to do new things, to do the things that we're created to do from our very beginning. Kat Banakis says that a baptized people should have a collective confession. In other words, as a whole community, we should have a collective confession, as we're going to have in just a few moments. And it should give us time to look and see what it is we're called to do. And so, if you've noticed, we've come back around this year to ask ourselves whether healthcare, education, clean water, sustainable earth, nuclear peace, racial equality, trust in our first responders are goals that we hold dear. And we've also begun to ask whether affordable child care, sexual consent, addiction treatment, economic equality, and careful control of powerful weapons are also goods that we ought to hold dear as baptized people, dear enough to put money and policy behind them. So as baptized people, we're invited to think through collectively what our resolutions are. And it's very appropriate that this is the first of the year and we're all about making resolutions. If you've noticed, I bet, how many of you have made resolutions? Some of you. Yeah, you get your hand kind of halfway. So those resolutions sometimes seem to be to make ourselves more worthy. We're going to be more disciplined. We're going to be more beautiful. We're going to lose weight. We're going to be awesome in the things that we do. And then suddenly we come to this scripture. And this scripture says, wait a minute. Jesus gets baptized and suddenly the heavens break open and we hear, you're my beloved and you, I'm well pleased. And he hadn't even gotten started in his ministry. He's 30. Nothing that we read about in scripture has happened. And yet God says, you're my beloved son, and you, I am well pleased. And we need to remember that. A few years ago, I was listening to NPR, to Inskeep, I like that, and Renee Montaigne. And they were talking about a new book and a new discovery in education. And the man had created this test to show teachers, and he said to them, this will reveal to you the students that you have that have great capacity to increase their IQ, I mean, just by leaps. It's a new test. Everybody went along with this. It's a new test. The book was published. So they told the teachers ahead of time, regardless of what the students' levels really were, that here was this group of students who had the potential to raise their IQ in 1 year by huge amounts. And in the interview, it was revealed that at the end of the year, those students about whom the teachers had been told were just off the charts. From any of their peers, no matter what their IQ was or anything, they were off the charts. They had become what they were believed to be. They had become who they were believed to be. God is like that. Beloved, you are loved. Just sit there for a moment and soak that in. And then get ready for the epiphany of what being loved like that means. When the time comes and you act with the confidence and the knowledge that you are loved by God for who you are, don't be surprised when the heavens break apart and you hear, you are my beloved child, and in you I am pleased. Aha.